Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Y todo, todo lo que me sobra.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
Oh, you know, just here, barely able to move because... I am at an age now where, like, my back goes out, I guess. It's the first time it's happened, and I have been bedridden, honey. Bedridden?
No.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, and so I can stand up now.
I know what that is. It's the beginning.
Girl.
Es el principio del fin.
I feel like,
entrégate, güey.
I feel like RuPaul at the judges panel. I can't turn my neck to the left or the right. Just forward. Okay? I'm ready to be a judge on Drag Race. I'm not going to move my neck. I promise. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
So what are you doing to... Are you going to the... I can give you a really good Kyron Vegas who's like... Tiene manos milagrosas, güey.
Tiene sus manos milagrosas. Oh, my God.
Sentir que resucito si me toca. Oh, my God.
You gay. Okay, so, what... Yeah, I will need that chiropractor's information. Thank you. Just, yeah, text it to me. Or we could just keep talking about it on the podcast like we're old ladies.
That's the thing. That's one of the things I was talking with Shane, that my conversations are not like, what are you listening to? Or like, what are you watching on TV? It's like, ¿qué te duele ahora? Like, are you surviving? Es que ya estamos viejitos, güey.
I know.
Pero what do you, so when you're bedridden, ¿qué comes? ¿Qué tragas?
What are you talking about? Nothing. I'm just laying there.
Feeding through a tube.
Yeah, just drinking my Herbalife shakes, you know. He's got to stay healthy. Yeah, and I drink Herbalife shakes and I watch Zumba on YouTube. I don't do it. I just watch it.
Hijo de su madre.
Yeah, and they said Latinidad was dead, okay? They lied. Mm-hmm. No, but what have you been up to? Enough about me.
It's... You know, like, today I woke up and I was like, it's mi día libre. So I'm going to record Latinos Who Lunch, have my class, and today I'm going to talk about my project so I don't have to do a lot of reading. I went for a walk because I'm trying to do this thing. Like, I do a lot of weights, but I watch a shitload of YouTubers who talk about, you know, like, weightlifting and perfect form and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I'm noticing is that, like, all this, like, big buff... like weightlifters, they actually take walks, and that helps a lot. And I want to start seeing results after like a year of working out pretty much like 5-6 times a week, you know. So I'm trying to change my diet a little bit. So we are doing a couple of like vegetarian nights, a couple of like non-carb nights, but I don't want to be on a diet. Like, I just want to implement new habits. So yesterday was carb night. So we got noodles, we got rice, we got Thai food from Albuquerque. It was really, really good. So this morning, in the spirit of healthiness, I made some of my famous scrambled eggs, which basically is like lo que encuentres, se lo echas a los huevos y te los comes. So it was with champiñones, con jalapeño, con cebolla, con sausage, you name it. So I've been just eating a lot of protein because, ever since I got this cappuccino machine, I have like 4 cappuccinos a day, and it's nothing but like full fat milk with like sugar and sugar and sugar and sugar, and that is not helping. So I have to cut back on that and then, you know, like push myself to have more protein all throughout the day. So that's what I've been trying to do. Oh, wait, but the point about this whole thing is that I went for a walk.
Okay. We're back.
And in that hour, my agenda got full. I went from like, I was busy for like 2 hours today to like, I've been here since like 11 and I'm not going to be done till like 8 p.m. just in 1 hour walk, I was walking and answering emails and accepting Zoom meetings and... Ay, es un pinche desorden. Pero, you know, hashtag bless. How about you besides being stuck in the bed?
Hashtag riveting content. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So what have... Oh, you know what I have been doing? Okay, here we go. Shout out to Texas. There's this vegan diner in Fort Worth, Dallas. I think it's in both places, yeah. It's called Spiral Diner. And... it's like a fun, quirky, you know, vegan diner, and they have these nachos there that are bomb with like cashew cheese. And it's like tastes meaty and very savory. I think I talked about it on the show.
Cashew cheese?
Yeah. So it's like nacho cheese, but made with cashews.
Santa Maria. Okay, a ver.
Yeah. Yeah. And so... you've never heard of a nut cheese before?
I'm not in that form.
It's too early for that. Stop it. I still need to warm up my vocal cords. So,
stupid.
You don't have a comeback? Okay, I'll just keep talking.
No, I don't. Sorry.
Great.
Too slow.
Great, yeah. So I gave you another one. Oh, just like a T-ball. Just have it there for you. And you just...
Girl, you know my brain works in mysterious ways.
You're too busy about eating enough protein. Oh my God. I just like blacked out during your diet talk. It's like so triggering to me. I just like fell asleep.
Okay.
I mean, wait,
bring me that riveting content that I've been waiting for, girl. Let's do it.
Let's talk about cashew cheese.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you the... Okay. So I may or may not have gotten a screen... a screenshot of a picture that somebody took from the recipe card from the kitchen at Spiral Diner. Shout out to Eva of the Colores Radio for this.
Oh, wow.
And so I have their official recipe. I'm not going to give you the measurements, but I'll tell you what's in it. but it's basically cashew cheese, oil, like vegetable oil, but you take the cashews and you soak them in hot water. If the cashews aren't raw, if you just have some roasted cashews, you can even, Eva gave me this tip, you can boil them a little bit so to soften them up and then do the rest of the process. So if you have raw, like fresh cashews, you put them in a blender. You let them soak a little bit with a couple cups of hot water, and then you add vegetable oil. You add equal parts nutritional yeast to cashews. That's what gives it like the cheesy, meaty flavor. And then
the thickness.
Uh-huh. And then you add lemon juice or lime juice. And then you add some peppers, I should say, for flavor, like red bell pepper. I made mine with jalapeno last night. And and then spices, different kind of spices.
Flavors,
okay? Lots of flavors. And then you blend it up, and then you put it in a crock pot, and you let it thicken for hours. And then when it gets to the right thickness, you pour it over your nachos.
I thought you were gonna say, "What is the right thickness?" You add the Velveeta.
Yeah. No, then you, then you just pour it on nachos. And I had made some chorizo from the day before, like soy rizo potatoes, you know, like chile con carne, but I made like a vegan version of it with chorizo.
Damn, that's commitment, girl. That is some commitment to that diet.
I mean, it's not a diet. I've been vegan my whole life. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
se me olvida, güey. Perdóname.
Anyway, it was great. That's what I had. That's what I've been having for the last couple of days. Because you know,
cashew nachos. Ya se va a acabar el mundo, güey.
Bitch, ya se acabó. Where you been? Wake up. You're over here like, you know what I did? I discovered woks. Oh, girl, please. Well, what have you eaten? Give me some good that you ate.
That's it. Oh, wait, what do we have? Oh, we had poached cod on tomato.
All right, soup. That's enough. That's enough. I've heard enough. Jesus.
Ya ves, pa que, si sabes cómo me pongo, pa que me invitas, güey.
I didn't think it could get worse, but we're already in hell. Hi, we're over here chilling with Lil Nas X. Okay. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be right back with listener letters.
Sáquese.
Today's episode is brought to you by you. Thank you so much, everybody, for helping Latinos Who Lunch out over the years. And a special shout out to all of our Patreon patrons. And this time, we're thanking our comadres. So you can go to patreon.com/Latinos Who Lunch and join our Patreon. Bonus episode every month. We got early releases sometimes. Babalito posts pictures of his trips to Juarez sometimes.
Once.
And so today we're gonna give a shout out to our comadres throughout the episode.
Let's do it. So we will start with Jessie LD. Shout out to you.
Sochi S. Love ya.
Wendy. Sácatelas. Wendy J.
Veronica C.
Vanessa L.
Valentina.
Tyler.
Tanya M. S.
Tanya DR. Shout out.
Sylvia F.
Susan A.
Oh, I know her. Shannon M.
Hey. Sarah R.
Rosario CS.
Rosa P.
Robin M.
Robert L.
Raquel S. V.
Raciel C. Shout out to you.
Nick B.
Mimi R.
Guess what, Mimi R. Maya C.
Martha A. J.
Marisol.
Marimar M.
Maria PG.
Maria F.
Lydia M.
Luisa.
Oh, we miss Magali E.
Lisahira S.
Leah TH.
Laura Dora N.
And Laura E. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you to all of our comadres. And of course, in the rest of the listening letters, you're going to hear the shout outs to everybody else. Thank you. Without you, we won't be able to do this the proper way. Shout out to all of you.
All right, let's do this.
Vámonos.
Thank you so much to everybody who sent in listener letters. And we're going to try to give you advice. I was going to say the best advice, but that is false. So... Do you want to go first or should I, Babs?
Dale tu primero.
All right. First letter is from Stephanie, titled MFA or Nah. I'm going to tell you right now. Nah. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. My question to you is, what kind of work can I do with an MFA? Since I know you are both fellow artists, that is both meaningful and pushes me to produce. Do any jobs like that exist? I do love being a teacher, but sometimes, if I'm being honest, most of the time, I wish I had a different job that could give me the freedom to work on my craft. How did you find a job that allowed you time to work on your craft? I feel like I have no idea how to find a career after finally finishing my MFA. I don't think I can commit to getting a teaching credential, something I will need if I continue teaching, because I have so much debt after grad school and want to work a while before I even consider a PhD, if I decide to do that. I have been offered an opportunity to possibly be able to get my teaching credential for free, but the reason it is free is because I'd have to teach at a Seattle school for at least 3 years after receiving my credential. That would mean 4 more years here. I'm not sure if I can do that. I miss the sun, good tacos, parties, el super, and hot summer nights. Please help. Any advice is appreciated. Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. I thought that with an MFA you could teach, at least in the level of a, ¿cómo se dice? Community college.
Yeah, maybe they're talking about teaching like younger kids in a school system, because you can have an MFA in art, but not have like an MFA in education, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably what it's
okay,
about.
Okay, so I think the PhD, listen, like a PhD is such a fucking commitment. If I knew what I was getting myself into, I probably would have said no.
Really?
But I'm also, yeah, really, because there were so many moments where, like, not only I questioned my career, but I questioned my life. Like, it became so heavy. But at the same time, I have no regrets. And now I'm so happy. I was so naive about it. So if you go into a PhD program, you do have to, you have to come, you have to go with the knowledge that this is it. Like, a professional student, it's your full-time job. And a PhD, I don't think there's PhD. I think there's one or two programs in the country where you can get a PhD in art. You can get a PhD in art history or other things, but not in art. So if you were thinking of, and I don't even know, like, what do you learn in a PhD art program anyway? I don't know. Like, there's been a discussion about that in academia for the last, I'm going to say, 10 years or so, if it's okay or not. I would, if you do have an MFA, I feel like there's a lot of things you can do where you could potentially be part of a community college program that, or even a 4-year program that will give you funding to keep working on your work, but at the same time teach. I know teaching is not your thing, but listen, you have to have a backup, because an art career, as you know, Favi, can give you everything and then all of a sudden can take it all away. So you always need to think about a backup, and having either your credentials or having, you know, like, experience teaching in a college level, it's something that you could have for the rest of your life. And if you end up teaching in a state level school, like, that's it. Like, los préstamos son tan re buenos. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things to do. You just have to explore your choices. And if you're having all these doubts about a PhD, I wouldn't go for that right now. I will just, like, try to, like, give it a little bit of time, you know? Because sometimes a year or two does a lot of work, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Wait, but do you... You don't regret getting a PhD, though, because...
No, not at all.
As an art historian, you really can't get the gigs unless you got one, right?
Right. I could teach. No. I actually... You have to even at least have passed your exams. Not finish your dissertation, but you have to at least pass your exams in order to get a community college gig. I don't regret it, and I'm so thankful that, again, I was so naive that I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
But I think that thinking of myself 13, 14 years ago when I made the decision, I probably would have said no, because it's scary. Like, what happens? And like Kirsten says, like, when you write a dissertation, it's like when you finish writing your dissertation, you don't know how much trauma you have, because you have to deal with a lot of shit. It's very, very complicated, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I don't regret it at all.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I also don't recommend being an artist. Okay, next letter.
In a nutshell.
It's so hard, you guys. It's so hard. I love it. I love that I'm doing what I'm doing. But I find myself in a position all the time, like, am I doing what I love? Because it feels like I'm just doing things just to get by. It's just really hard. If you want to be a full-time visual artist, you have to be like a jack of all trades.
Everything.
Because, you know, I got the podcast going, and I got, you know, these like gigs that I have as kind of like producer, facilitator, consultant kind of gigs, a couple here and there. And then I'm like curating stuff. And then I'm trying to maintain an art practice that's like fulfilling, but it hasn't for a long time. Then you throw your back out when you have a mural to make in 4 days and you can't move and you're not going to know how you're going to do it. and it's going to be shipped to it's going to be shipped to Indianapolis on Monday.
Shout out to Indianapolis.
So if any listeners are out there, it's going to be at some hotel. I'll let you know, but it's probably going to be less detailed than I was going to be because I can't move. So you got to think about all these things, and it's hard. It's hard. I will say, if you really want to be an artist and you already have your MFA, girl, you're good.
You're good.
Like, I'm team BFA. I don't even have an MFA. People think I have an MFA because I don't correct them when they write that I do have one. But that's their bad, not mine. And so I know a lot of artists that are successful with just BFAs. And MFAs, yeah, I don't... It's just not fair, you know? Like, the academia is just... it's a scam, basically. And there's just so many people with degrees that... It's the workforce is hard to get into anything if you want to have a backup plan, right? So I don't know. I have a lot of artist friends that don't really rely on that. The ones that don't rely on teaching, they have to kind of work within this gig economy and pick up like a bunch of gigs that kind of sustain them as far as like paying rent and eating, you know? And then their art practice is like extra. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, back to that brilliant quote, academia is a scam. Like, you're right.
Girl,
like, you're
right. I had no business going to school. They just wanted my money.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. Like, and there are documentaries about this out there, but ever since the 60s, the university ceased to be so much an educational space than like a business, and you're nothing but a number, you know. And even in the level of teaching, you know, it becomes that.
Yeah.
But in the flip side, you also have the opportunity to encounter others that are committed to what they teach, that are committed to what they produce, you know. And like me, like I cannot think of myself without having Kirsten in my life, you know? And that's despite the fact of, like, I own a house in terms of how much I owe in education and todo el dinero que debo. Like, I owe a fucking house, you know? So, like, I could not even begin to think about buying a house before even paying off all this stuff. So it is a scam. It's a lot of money. It's a business, you know? You're a number. But with the good... good research, with good community, you also can end up in a program where it may change your life like it did for me. So there's a lot of decisions to keep in to consider, and a lot of because college has become a business, the decision of going to college has also become similar. That okay, so this career is going to make me money and this career is not going to make me money. And like you said, like you do all these things, but part of it is also, como dicen, por amor al arte. I was just thinking about this because, like, really my agenda got full today with content, like with the YouTube videos, with interviews, with this and that. It's just shit that I'm doing for free just because I'm so committed to what I believe and putting and creating content for the channel and like right now, you know, like recording this podcast. So you have to like weigh those things up. You have to say, okay, maybe I want to create a type of work that I don't know, like you think it's going to change the world, and with that in mind, it is worth owning a lot of money, you know. So it's just a lot of things, you know. It's a case by case basis. So as much as we can say yes or no, you have to weigh all of those options before fully commit to a decision, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So what's our advice? Don't do it. Don't get your teaching credentials, or yes?
I will say yes, because you will always have teaching as a backup. Because, wey, el mundo se está acabando. You don't know what's going to happen. So, and at least, I mean... I'm not like we're not necessarily essential workers, but we also are, because people always want to get educated and people always want to learn. So at least you know that you'll have a job, you know? And in this economy and in this world, knowing that you at least have not a 9-to-5, but you have like un salario, you know, and tu aseguranza, ya chingaste, güey. Which is part of the reason why I also say yes to a PhD. I'm like, well, at least I'm going to teach. Even I may not teach in Harvard, but even if I teach again in a community college, as long as I can reach out my community and have a salary to fucking eat, That's it, you know? So you have to think about those.
Yeah.
Things. So I say yes.
Okay. And just take a really hard look at yourself. Right now, stop what you're doing. Yes. Okay.
Frenando okay. en el freeway.
Yes. Stop what you're doing. Okay. Hopefully you're home. Go into the bathroom. Turn all the lights off. Look right into the mirror and just turn them on right now and look at yourself.
Put some Solange music in the background. That helps.
Ask yourself, do I really love teaching? Ask yourself that.
Yeah.
And look at what your eyes say. It's all in the eyes. You can tell a teacher by their eyes. They're tired, soulless eyes. Okay?
No, what?
If there's a shimmer of life in the reflection in those eyes, then okay, then you do enjoy being a teacher.
Yes, yes.
If you don't, girl, don't do it, girl. Don't do it. Okay, you just gotta, the 4 years that you're gonna go through or 3 years in that program, they're gonna suck. But you know what else sucks? Is your first 4 years as an independent artist trying to figure it out.
True.
And so you can do both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, Stephanie, best of luck.
I feel like we just like, we made what? It worst.
Yeah. Hashtag, it doesn't get better. Okay.
Nicole. Go ahead, Babs. This is from Nicole or Nicole. Nicole. Let's go with Nicole.
Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole. Podcast help. I recently volunteered to help host a radio show for my city's community organization, Casa de la Raza. I've never made a podcast or even on the radio, so I'm wondering if either you have any tips. Because COVID, all radio segments will be pre-recorded and assembled before being published on air, so I'll have time to draft and finalize my ideas. My segment will highlight different music from around the world, primarily Latin America. Hit me out, girl. And drive into the cultural, social, and political implications of said music. Questions. How do you both prepare, build your podcast? Do you improvise most of it, or does a lot of planning go into it? On a separate note, do you know of any podcast hosted by Peruvian Americans or Peruvians that you may recommend? Thanks again for your insight and for always putting on a great show. Con mucho amor, Nicole. Nicole, Nicole.
Okay, how do you both prepare / build your podcast? Do you improvise most of it or do you plan it? Actually, this is, you know, we've never talked about it.
Right.
I can't believe it after all of these years, 5 years. But I actually write the script for this podcast. You think it's off the cuff. But
we're reading right now as we speak.
Boozled, Babelito and I are actors. And yeah, this whole show is scripted. So it takes a long time. You know, every episode takes about 4 weeks. We start off with a pre-production meeting, brainstorming, storyboards.
With the whole
team. The whole team. We bring in the producers. We usually get sandwiches, but, you know, if Babelito's in a mood, we have to have just protein for him sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, you know, we go back and forth and, you know, we pick the best ideas and then, we build off of that and then we come up with a script. And after that, we put out the show and we make sure that it sounds like pristine. It's amateurly. We wanted there to be some charm. So the sound is always a little off. The editing is off. Like we use
it's different.
It's what our music.
It's what kids will say. It's our aesthetic.
It's our aesthetic, you know, like homemade, like make it sound like Babelito is in a random Airbnb with the air conditioning on. Make it sound like Favi is in a garage with jackhammers happening outside. You know, make it sound real because that's what people want. Vulnerability and realness. And that's what Latinos Who Lunch isn't. And so we're not that, but the podcast is. Do you get what I'm saying? What else? Did I miss anything else, Babs? No. Oh, we do take a quarterly retreat. We take a quarterly retreat to Joshua Tree, and we get a big yurt.
A big teepee. The teepee. Remember that year we were in the teepee?
It's called a yurt, you fucking uncultured swine. And yeah, and we do ayahuasca, and that's really where we get the ideas. We're like, yo,
el universo no las dice. Like we get them from like outsourced universal energies. It really is a very complicated process.
And I think you can tell. I think you can tell when it's a new moon or a full moon. You know, like when we get our ideas during the full moon or the new moon. Like it can, it totally reflects, you know?
Yes.
You hear that? Do you guys hear the dump truck in the background? That I put that all in post. That's not even real right now. Okay. Okay. How do you? I think we answered it, right?
That's it. That's exactly our complicated process. It really when Fabi talks about how this is an extension of his art, that's exactly what he's talking about. It is the production of this very real sounding, you know, podcast.
Yeah. Well, I hope that helped. Babs, you're next. Read the script, fool.
So what would be a good tip on this complicated process?
What would be a good tip? I don't know. Pay somebody else to do it. I wish I would have. Okay, for real. That was cute. But how do you both prepare, build your podcast? Girl, it's a lot. I mean, you're going to do a one-off thing, or is it, what did they say? Are they going to be reoccurring on the radio show?
It seems like it's going to be an actual like music show. So yes, it's like a segment. That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, when we plan our episodes, we kind of plan them ahead of time. I feel like we do kind of like 6 month chunks of like kind of what our themes are going to be. So there actually is a lot of thought that kind of goes between them. Like Pablito was like, oh, I want to have an art history month. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm completely drained and have no ideas. So I'm just going to do listener letters the last couple of months. And that was kind of our agreement, you know? So we do have kind of these brainstorming meetings to figure out what we're gonna do. And then Pablito and I over years have built up this rapport, so we can just kind of do off the cuff. Like, so for this episode, for example, I was like, hey, Babs, you ready? Great. Whose turn is it to do the intro? And that's it. And then we go, you know?
Yeah.
And we do the, and then I'm like, okay, we're gonna do a couple commercial breaks, and that's it. That's all we talk about. But for the more, for the interviews and for the more themed episodes, you know, we do our research ahead of time. Sometimes we even have phone calls ahead of time to make sure we're kind of on the same page what we're going to talk about. And then we kind of just improvise. As far as the music episodes, because it sounds like you're going to do kind of like Radio Lonchea, our parody Radio Menea episodes. That's a little more work. You know, if you're going to talk about the songs, you want to make sure you have good sound bites and you know what you're talking about. So, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into the listener, into the musical episodes that we do.
Yeah, and I always keep in mind the whole entire year that at the end of the year we're going to do this episode.
Yeah.
So like I will listen to an album, I'm like, this is content, this could be the album of the year, you know? Like when Little Pimienta came out with that album, which was in like April or March, it was like in the beginning of the pandemic. I remember thinking, okay, like this is it. Like this is going to be one of the top three. Like it's just too good, you know? And it ended up being the top. But I've been thinking about it. So I've been listening to it. I've been doing research about it, looking at interviews. So suscríbete a todo, man. Suscríbete a todo. A remezcla, a esto, el otro. Listen. You have to like be versed on those ideas. And I think that's what we see. Like when Fabi talks about all these recommendations of different podcasts, it's because he's listening to a ton of them. And by now he's listened to so many and he listens all the time that it's so easy for him to say, oh, this is a great podcast. We haven't heard this. Please listen to this stuff. But it's a matter of just like starting to get into the practice. And it seems that you are versed in Latin American music. It's just a matter of getting it started. And don't be afraid. Like, and be natural at the beginning. And I remember the very first time we recorded in my house. I was like, buenos días, señoras y señores. Bienvenidos a Latinos Lunch. And Fabi was like, cálmate, pinche cucuy de la mañana. And I was like, yo, you know what? You're right. Like, let's be just natural. And part of the reason why we don't do elaborate scripts or...
El cucuy por la
así me dijiste, güey. Me dice, cálmate, pinche cucuy.
Damn, I mean. That was a good one. That was a good one. See? No,
but that was... But literally, that was the best advice, dude. Because there's so many Latino podcasts that are like that. Like, bienvenidos. Like, it's just like... But that's the old school radio voice, you know? Like, and you don't want to do that. Especially if you're trying to do... Hey, I'm a regular person and I know about music and these are my recommendations and that's it. So
that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I would recommend like if, I mean, usually during a music show, you don't talk during all the tracks. You want to play at least a couple, you know, let a couple go through. You know what? I'm going to say my recommendation now because we're on this topic, but I used to listen to this show, and it was my favorite music show. It's from Richmond, Virginia, actually, and I don't think that it airs anymore, or at least they don't put it online like a podcast anymore, but it was called The Bopes Show, and it was this guy, Christopher Bopes, who's in that band Guar. Do you know Guar?
Yes.
Or Guar? You know that weird...
Con todos los monstruos.
Yeah, they like dress up as monsters and like bleed all over the audience and stuff. They're cool. I've seen them a couple times. But he had a show on RVA News on like their kind of NPR station. And it's spelled B-O-P-S-T, so Bopes Show. And I discovered so much music or learned about a lot of music through that show. And I don't know if he's Latino, but he had a lot of like Spanish and Latin American songs on that show. And he has to be, or one of his relatives, somebody. So I loved it. But what I loved about the show is he did it kind of like a radio show. Like he would introduce himself at the beginning and then he would introduce the song or a couple of the songs that are coming up. And then he would let like 3 to 5 songs play and then just give you a little nugget of like, so he's like, okay, at the top you heard this song by this person and this song and that one, uh-huh, and the latest song you heard was this, and I like this song because it reminds me of blah 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 blah, and on to the next one. Oh, right. Cool. It was just like, and there was always music playing, there wasn't too many breaks. It was always music happening in the background. And even when he was talking, it was some sort of instrumental song. Like he had it curated so well that...
Oh, that's good.
Like the song would start... The person would start singing when he stopped talking, you know, kind of thing. And so if you're doing a radio show, I recommend not writing a script. And if you do want to talk about the band... Have an outline and have bullet points, so that you don't, you say everything that you want to say, but you're not reading it. Because once you can always tell on radio when somebody's reading, and people automatically will just get bored.
Sucks. Yes.
Like, so I recommend if you want to talk about the band in between, bullet points, you know, and make it quick because people are listening for your insight, but also they want to hear the music.
Right, like for the Café Tacuba Re, like I spent so much time and I read a book. I read a fucking entire book. I listened to podcasts. But then at the end, I sat down and I was like, okay, it's important to talk about this, about this, about this, about this. But we didn't read anything. We had general themes that we wanted to develop. And hopefully you'll develop a voice soon enough where like people will listen for that. They won't necessarily want, you know, specific details, but they want to listen to you and your opinion and your taste and why you like it and why you're playing it. And the last question that they post is about Peruvian or Peruvian American podcasts. If there's anything you recommend, can you think of anything, Fabi?
Ooh, I don't know if I know any Peruvian specific, or maybe I do listen to some podcasts, but I just, the nationality of the hosts have not been revealed to me yet, you know, so I don't know where they are from. But But this is a good question for the listeners. If anybody knows of any Peruvian podcast, please, please, please share it on Twitter. Share it in the comments on this Instagram episode post. And let the people know, because I would love to hear some. I would love to.
In terms of music, check out, again, we always recommend the same one, but check out Songmes, because Songmes curates shows from areas. So he did like a whole entire series of interviews from artists from Tijuana, and then he did a whole entire series of artists from Costa Rica and Peru and Colombia. So check out some of that content. And again, once you fall in the rabbit hole, like you start exploring more and more and more and more and more and more and more. So I will definitely use Songmes as a reference for this new venture. And let us know when it's ready. Hopefully it's before we stop recording every week, and maybe we can recommend it and let everybody know.
Thank you, Nicole, 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 Nicole. I think it's just Nicole. Why are you being so extra? Okay. We're going to take a quick break and then be back with our last listener letter for this episode. Buenos días, habla el piolín por la mañana.
De norte a sur, de este a oeste, para arriba y para abajo.
Qué desorden. We're gonna take a moment. Can you believe if we do it? Let's try to do it like Piolín. Are you ready?
Dale, dale.
You can do it, right?
Simón.
We're gonna take este momento to thank all of our Patreon patrons. If you don't know what Patreon is, well, Google it, locas. Just like your faves Favi Fav and Babalito say every week, we're gonna take this moment to thank all of our friends over here on Patreon, all of our comadres. And you know, there's three levels here. We got the amigos, we got the comadres, and that's who we're focusing on today, and madrinas. I don't know what that means, but I like it. Spicy, muy loco. Okay, we're going to start with Kiki's. Thank you.
Un shout out para ti, Kiki's. Te queremos mucho también a Catherine H. Shout out to you.
That's your Piolín?
It's like my Latin American Televisa radio.
Okay. Juliana R.,
Juan de T, te queremos, amor.
Josué R.
Jonathan S. Saludotes desde Santa Fe.
Jonah S.
Jessica V. Te queremos, amiga.
Jessica M.
Jesse R. Besitos.
Jeanette H.
Jeanette R.
Jake N.
Itzel S.
Isis N.
Holly S.
Hector DD.
Gris R. Besitos, amor.
Grecia R.
Gilberto A.
German M.
Gavi L. W.
Gabriela S.
Esteban C.
Gabriela O.
Esbeidi B.
Erica A.
Elizabeth G.
Elizabeth A.
And Edelweiss, sí, muchísimas gracias, amores, tesoritos, cariño, los queremos muchísimo, gracias por todo su soporte, iba a decir, gracias por todo su apoyo, por todo su dinero, si no fuera por ustedes no podríamos hacer este interesantísimísimísimo programa. Saludos desde Santa Fe y desde Las Vegas, los queremos con todo, todo lo que nos sobra.
I don't know what he just said, but whatever it was, I'll take two. Thank you so much to all our Patreon patrons. You can find us at latinoswholunch.com/donate or patreon.com/latinoswholunch. This is the remix. Okay. That was not fun.
Interesante.
I don't know what that was. That was something. All right. We're going to go back to our letter from Mari, our friend from Tokyo, our lunch buddy. She has a list of fun questions. We're going to do some lightning round questions. Are you ready, Babs?
Dale.
Okay. So, hi, this is Mari, your lunch buddy. Favorita is back. You asked for fun listener questions, so here they are. Thanks again. With love from Tokyo, Mari. Okay, category is...
Puro pinche party.
Okay, here we go. Which Latinx song always makes you run to the dance floor?
Ay, amigas, que depende de la party. Like,
okay.
Like, si estás en el antro gay, me pones a, ¿cómo se llama la que le gusta a la comadre? A Laura León. Like, suavecito, suavecito, y caigo en un abismo de pasión. Si estás en una quinceañera, like, cualquier cumbia de la Sonora Dinamita. Like, I'm down.
Yep.
Si estás en un party más aburrido, no sé, la verdad. It really depends on the party. But if it's a Latinx party, las canciones de Rigo Tobar, híjole, güey, me encienden. Me transforman. So, to me is Rigo Tobar. To me is Rigo Tobar.
Yeah. And obviously, Suavemente. Even the whites know to put that on when there's Latinos, to please the Latino audience.
Suavemente.
Suavemente, okay? And so... that was always a fun one. I love merengue, so anything merengue for me, honestly.
Y Selena, güey. O sea, sale Selena y el biri biri bam bam. I know, yeah, but it's still andas pedo, güey, y empieza. ¿Sabes lo que he hecho yo últimamente? Like, we've been I'm talking about my alcoholism, but we've been buying bottles of mezcal, and like we always drink it with our family. Or like if friends come over, like we try, I don't know, like I'm getting into mezcal, maybe a little bit too much, but me pongo pedo and I have to listen to Los Bukis. Shout out to Rudy and shout out to my mother. Like, I don't know, like that's how I get, así me enfiesto yo. Anything from the Bukis, from the most boring songs to the most lit songs. It's like a new development in my señora tía life.
Yes. Shout out to Radio Menea. They did a whole episode about Suavemente, the album.
Oh, sweet.
And Elvis Crespo, who I believe is Puerto Rican. All right. So let's do this. Next question. What's the best Latinx party you ever been to?
That's a problematic question.
Why?
Because, like, do the quinceañeras de mis primas cuentan como Latinx party? Like,
yeah.
Like, I just think of it as a party. So, unless I went to like a Latinx theme party or like a, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Like, what?
I guess every party that I go to is a Latinx party.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Latino party. Girl, why are you fronting? That's not a problem.
Then,
that ain't no problem.
Fuck it. Then my wedding. That was so lit. Like, I mean, maybe I was the only one.
Yeah,
but I had so... Oh, la quince... No way. La boda de mi hermana. That shit was so fun. I will say la boda de mi hermana. That, like, it was so good that I will pass by the venue, which is in front of the airport. And, like, I get, like, nostalgia. You know what I mean? So, but I think it's a combination of like having family together y andábamos hasta como arañas fumigadas and the music. And so, yeah, I'm going to say la boda de mi carnal Osiris.
Man, it's hard because, you know, Latinx weddings are so fun. It's got to be a wedding for me,
it's
too.
It's got to be a wedding, yeah.
It's because we party. My dad's side of the family, they're fucking party animals, dude. Like, I don't know. It's like the people from our ranchos, they just love to party. They have a party. Like when they do quinceañeras, they'll do a quinceañera and then they'll do la recalentada the next day at either the same venue. It's at the venue, not at somebody's house. And then like, or at a smaller salon. And then they'll have like, then they'll just keep partying and then the kids go home and then the adults keep partying the next day.
Pues sí, like, así debe de ser. Como Dios manda.
They don't stop. So, yeah, there's so many quinces and not quinces, really. I think there's too many kids at quinces, so I can't really party, you know? It's like the weddings are where the debauchery happens. Okay, here we go. Next question. If they don't play blank... Was it even a Latinx party? So what song? If they don't play what song?
A ver, ¿tú cuál tienes?
El baile del perrito, duh.
El baile del perrito. I think caballo, any caballo dorado song.
Yeah, or what else? Gosh, there's so many.
Back in the day, I remember when I was a kid, like in the 80s, había una canción que se llamaba La Bala, and they don't play it anymore.
How does it go?
Un, dos, tres, la bala. Que apaguen las luces. Yeah. And then everybody se entraba a la casa y apagaban las luces. And then the next part will be like, todos para abajo. Y ahí vamos todos como pendejos para abajo. Y hagan un escándalo. And then it was like a whole entire thing. And esa canción no faltaba en ninguna party, güey. Pero no sé, güey, como que pasó de moda y ya. Se murió.
You know what song I hate that they always play is that one where everybody dances and it's like a fiddle. Is that the one? Is that the one you were saying?
A fiddle? What is a fiddle?
It's like a fiddle is like a violin, you know? It's like that song that everybody dances. They like square dance to it. They do the same thing.
No,
and it gets faster and faster.
I don't.
That's
Caballo Dorado, bitch.
I hate that. Yeah, that song. I hate that song. I'm like, and because the DJ always has the worst version of it. I'm like, who is doing this song? Anyway, if any Latinx artist wants to make some money, just do a cover of that song that sounds just a little bit better and you will be at all the quinces.
Con un demo. Y ya chingaste. Yeah. Ah, ¿sabes cuál otra, güey?
What?
El sonidito.
How does that one go? Yeah, the one where it's like, gives me anxiety because that was this alarm that I had in high school. Every time I hear it, like, I'm late for school. I gotta go.
I think el sonidito came to replace La Bala. Now in retrospect.
Sonidito... And you know what else? Uh-huh. La Vaca.
Moo.
La Vaca.
Moo.
That true. One also, I mean, La Sonora Dinamita.
Es que like, hay tantas, güey.
All of those songs. What's the one where they sing to each other? That one's at every fucking party. It was like so popular.
I think it's a like racist one.
The one, where the guy and the girl sing to each other.
I know, me acuerdo,
güey. How does it go? Oh my God. Oh my God. Just take my Latinx card already. I don't need it. I'm white.
Ahorita que regreses. Ahorita que regrese.
Anyway. All right. So those are a few songs. If they don't play those songs, then is it even a Latinx party? Okay.
Oh my God.
What?
En la boda de un primo que es super cristiano, they didn't want to play music for, you know, for people to dance those devil dances. So there was no music. And then finally,
yeah, girl, welcome to my family parties on my Guatemalan side, bitch. They hate joy.
Qué aburrido, güey. El pedo fue de que creo que fue la novia. Que dijo, no, güey, es mi boda. I wanna fucking dance.
Yeah.
So finally, like, Rihanna started like, please don't stop the music.
Dun,
and then
dun,
guess
dun,
what,
dun,
Mimi?
Dun, 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 what?
They stopped the music after that.
Oh, my God.
That sucked. Ugh. Anyway, next question.
Okay. Next question. Candy / snack you hate getting the most from a piñata?
Pues anything that it's not wrapped. Like when I was a kid, like I wanted candy. No cuando le metían frutas, because that's the traditional way. I would be boring.
Yeah, when they put the little oranges in there, I'm like, girl, really? Ugh, come on. I'm like, scurvy's not even a problem anymore. Why are you trying to heal us? Okay, next one. Candy / snack you love getting the most from a piñata?
When you got those little sneakers or Milky Ways, you knew these people had money. Like, so from the border, getting that U.S. like chocolate bars. Oof.
Anything from the Mars Bars Company, okay? Anything from Mars, thank you so much. You're rich. If there's chocolate in your piñata, you're rich, okay?
Pero I also love to get anything tamarindo. Now, like, cuando le robo el candy a los primos y a los sobrinitos, anything tamarindo, because they don't like it. So they just give it to me. So that's like my favorite now.
Okay, growing up, my favorite candies were, I had two favorite candies from the piñata. It was the Sixlets. Do you know what Sixlets were?
Como chicles, no?
No, they're like little balls of chocolate. And they came in like a little tube, a plastic tube, like in a row. Not a tube, but like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
They're like really small spheres of candy coated chocolate, and they came in a row, like in a little plastic, six of them.
Oh, wow, no.
And then so then you would bite the plastic and you could like eat all six, like, the, you know, at one time.
Nope, I never.
You never had those? Those were my favorite.
No, I need to see them. If I see them, maybe I'll be like, oh, ya sé de lo que hablas, pero I can't remember.
Okay. And then we had, and I just love the classic, the little caramelos, you know, the little square brown caramels.
Oh, yes.
Came in the clear plastic.
I can chew on those for days.
Girl, that's why you don't have no teeth anymore. That's what happened. Thank God I became a vegan at 3 years old and I stopped eating them. I know. Aren't they so bomb, though? And little kids, I feel like little kids don't really like those as much as the other candy because they're just kind of boring looking.
Yeah.
So I would be like, I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, dale.
Okay, here we go. We only have a few more questions left. You can only get one for your holiday season. What do you choose? Tamales or Rosca de Reyes? Tamales.
A huevo, duh. Hello, next question.
Rosca de Reyes is just decoration, girl. Okay. Would you rather have to... Okay, here we go. Would you rather have to get another recuerdo for your mom or get your face smashed into your birthday cake?
¿Cómo que another recuerdo for your mom?
Okay, so your mom never made you steal the recuerdos?
Oh, de la... I'll get another recuerdo for my mom, always.
Bitch, that was my job. That was my job at all the quinces, at all the... My grandma would be like, hey, ¿ves esas flores? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. So, you know, whenever it was time to go, I would hide. Okay.
It would... Oh, yeah, pero it's so funny because, like, la quinceañera estuvo re padre, todos se quieren. And then the moment of truth comes out. Las tías empiezan a enseñar el cobre y se empiezan a pelear por el florero. No, ese es de mi mamá. No, ese es de mi tía. And they start fighting. I've been to quinceañeras where, like, people fight. And then you always have la tía que se roba como cinco recuerdos. And they just, as soon as the party starts, they already have them all. They already have them all bien escogidos. It's like very contentious question. So,
well, you know that my family stopped doing that like 5 years ago because a couple of our family members started party companies.
Uh-huh.
So they just rent all the recuerdos now, like the, not the recuerdo, because then, you know, you usually get a little something like on your table, like on your plate uh-huh. that you can take with you. But like los arreglos in the middle are now like the party planner put them there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was funny, the transition years from that. To being like, no, me van a cobrar. You know, like, you can't take, because you know some of our older tías were trying to take these giant ass floral arrangements. They're like, didn't you buy them already? Aren't you just going to throw them away? We're like, no, they're rented, bitch. What the fuck? You think we could enjoy, you think all these fish tanks in the middle of all the fucking tables, we bought them? Get out of here.
Se roban la fuente del pastel.
People, please stop using fish in your arreglos. It's not cute. It never was cute. I know they're just feeder fish or whatever, but girl, don't do it.
I never seen okay. that.
Ugh. You've never seen that?
No. You know one
girl,
tradition
I... These Vegas people are extra, girl. They put in live animals.
Unicornios vivo.
Butterflies, girl. Butterflies.
No.
Before the great butterfly massacre that Asia O'Hara... did I remember my... I told this story on the podcast before, didn't I?
I think so, yes.
At my cousin's quince, they released the butterflies. And the butterflies were in the cages all day and it was too hot. So they didn't fly. They just fell to the ground. And everybody was just stepping on them. And we're like, because it was supposed to be this moment, like the birds flying in the air, you know, like when they release doves.
Pobrecita.
And they like started releasing butterflies, and the butterflies were so tired, they were just like landing on people to get her to just because they couldn't fly.
Agua, por favor, agua.
They just needed some water, honey. Qué anyway, triste.
You know what tradition before what? You know what tradition nunca entendí? It's like when they take the top of the cake and then lo congelan. Like for years. And I remember since a kid, I was like, that's so stupid. You cannot eat that shit. And like years after my sister got married, I went into her fridge and like opened the el congelador. And I was like, oh my God, mi hermana es una de ellas. She saved the top of the wedding cake, which by the way, I made. It was so beautiful.
That's universal. You're supposed to do that. Everybody does it.
I don't get it.
And then you're supposed to eat it. You're supposed to eat it like at your like 10th anniversary or something. Like, we made it.
Todo congelado, todo duro, se te caen los dientes.
Yeah, yeah, and then you get a new tooth. Oh my God, I gotta get out of here. These painkillers kicked in, honey. Okay, here we go. Would you rather be a chamberlain or a groomsman? Okay, first of all, is chamberlain...
It's chamberlain sin la R.
I don't know why I say it with an R. Is that a French word? Why do we say that?
Probably chamberlain. I don't know.
Is that why?
That's probably why you use the R as well, because it sounds like chamberlain. But I have no idea.
Timberland. I don't know.
A chamberlain.
I'd rather be none. I hate going to weddings. Anne Keen says, to be completely honest, I only like the reception sometimes, but I hate putting on an ill-fitting suit. I'm fat. Nothing ever fits me. I have to go to fucking Men's Warehouse or wherever the fuck they get their suits from, David's Bridal, and just be assaulted by all the fucking people there that tell me I'm fat over and over again. You know, the last time for my cousin... wedding, who I'm about to be a groomsman for in Mexico later this year, the lady's like, oh, okay. She measures me, looks me up and down, and then sighs like, ay, like that.
Pinche vieja.
And I was like, is there an issue? Is there a problem here? And she's like, no, I have something for you. And then she comes back and she puts it on, and it like fits a little too big. And she's like, oh, we got to take it in because the pants and the... And like, she's like talking like I'm not there to the other person.
Bitch, that's your job.
And then this is how fat people get treated. I'm just telling you. And then they brings out another coat and it fits me like perfect. And she's like, she looks at me in the eyes and goes, I'm going to need you to do me one favor by June or whenever... I don't even know when the wedding is now because it got moved because of COVID. But by the wedding, you need to lose 1 pound, okay? And then everything will be great. And I was like, 1 pound? And I'm like, I literally can go take a shit right now and lose 3 pounds. So what are you talking Bendeja. About? And she looked at me like I was like the devil. And then I was like, why don't you get me a suit that fits me right now? What actually? Why don't you give me a suit that will fit me if I gain 10 pounds? How about that?
How about that?
And she's like, I think this will be fine. I'm like, okay, bye.
Sí, cállate.
Here's a couple $100, or it was more than a couple $100. First, and second of all, if you're listening to this, you made me buy an ill-fitting suit for your wedding that I have to travel to Mexico to during a pandemic. People and their fucking weddings. Okay. Would you rather be... Oh, we already said that. So what? Would you rather be a chamberlain or a groomsman?
My answer is so much more simple. Chamberlain. Always.
Groomsman.
No, chamberlain.
Oh, okay.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, but you're little and you're... I don't know. I wouldn't... I hated being a quinceañera when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved it. I fucking loved it.
All right, last question, right? No. Two more.
Dos más.
If you had a quince, what would your theme, colors, and venue location? Oh, venue location, food, music, baile de sorpresa, and who would be in your court? Simple question. Go ahead.
Hijo de su madre.
Okay, what's your theme?
My theme will be... Ay, güey, es que I could never do that. I think there was a point in my life where I was like, I'm gonna do this. Like, I want to have, like triple quinceañera. Bueno, cumpla 45, you know? Because ya estoy bien viejo, güey. Pero
what's your theme?
I don't know, man. Like, what's your theme?
My theme is gonna be Under the Sea. What's your theme?
My theme will be La Nana Fine. Everybody will have to be fabulous.
Nice. So mm-hmm. Great Gatsby. You know, these Mexicans love a Great Gatsby
theme. They love the Great Gatsby.
They put on a flapper dress and a fake fur coat and a cigarette and they think they're white. Love it. Okay. Colors.
Colors will be the most obnoxious ones. Like, ¿cómo se llama? Rosa fuchsia. Rosa fuchsia y oro.
Nice. Mine are going to be all jewel tones.
Okay.
Next, venue/location.
I always wanted to do a party in a big casino. Like, fancy as fuck. So, like, the Bellagio.
Under the sea. I would have to say... No. If it's under the sea, it's got to be somewhere cool. Maybe we can rent out like an aquarium. You know what I mean? That would be so cool. Like at the Mandalay Bay here in Las Vegas.
Or downtown Las Vegas. No. I went to a wedding
there. No, absolutely awesome, not. Though. No.
Food.
Okay. Yeah, a wedding, yes. Not a quince. These kids would get murdered. Okay, food.
Sushi, girl. It's going to be decadent. Sushi.
I want to just have a buffet so people can just choose whatever they want.
Sushi buffet.
No, girl, you don't want a sushi buffet. You just want raw fish sitting out for hours. You trying to kill everybody. No
whatever.
Way. Okay. Music. Who's your DJ going to be?
¿Cómo se llama ese con el que bailamos en Arcosanti?
Skrillex?
Yes, I'm going to have Skrillex. This is all wrong. So, like, I'm going to have a person that I will never have otherwise. I'm going to have Skrillex, bitch.
I'm going to have the Lady Bunny be my DJ. And then, what's your baile sorpresa going to be?
¿Cuál va a ser mi baile de sorpresa? Esa sí le tengo que pensar con mucho cuidado. Una de los bookies, güey. Something that people thought we're going to bring reggaeton, and then we're just going to dance bookies. Oh, it's going to be so ridiculous.
Mine's going to be She Bangs by Ricky Martin. Okay. And then who would be in your court? Who would be your chamberlana?
¿Quién va a ser mi chamberlana? Ay, yo creo que escogería la Maddie, because she will just love it.
Who?
La Madalena, Maddie. My friend Maddie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. She will be my
chamberlain. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Mine would be my cousin Jasenia.
Oh, yes. That's perfect.
Yeah. She's like my best friend, and she would love it. And then it would be like all my cousins, all my girl cousins. So I would have like, my court would be like 20 couples of just all my first cousins.
Oh, that would be
It would
cool.
be great.
That would be cool. Yeah.
So actually, it would be... If it was all my first cousins, it would be like 32 couples. Perfect. Okay.
45 couples.
Perfect. Okay. And then Mari didn't add this question, but I have to know. Where are you going to go take your pictures?
In front of the Siegfried and Roy statue.
Oh my God! I was gonna say in front of the volcano. It's right next to the Siegfried and Roy statues. We picked the same location. You gotta get there early because then there's too many tourists, okay? All right. Last one. What would your wedding/vow renewal look like? Yes. So what would your what is that? I don't know what that means. What would your wedding vow /renewal look like?
Exactly the same. People that went to the wedding keep asking me, why don't we just do it again? But I mean, it's only been, what, 2.5 years? But I think in the 5 years, we're going to do a party in Joshua Tree. So it will be exactly the same. Nothing exciting.
Nice. I think I would do
That has nothing to do with quinceañeras. I was like, maybe we could be like in that tank at the
con los delfines.
In the dolphin tank at the Mirage. So that it's yeah, maybe everything will center around under the sea themed. So it'll be we're gonna go swimming with dolphins and then the
shout out to Erica. Only,
the only people yeah, you know she listens to this every week.
Yes.
The only people that she's like my favorite podcast, Latino so much. yeah, I wouldn't want any guests, just the dolphins.
Oh and... shit. Aplaudiendo the flapping.
Actually, I would like to invite the tigers and white lions as well that are in the secret garden. So it would have to be in the back pool where the, you know, because the lions and tigers are
next to the garden. Yes.
Next to the garden. So we would have to, it would probably, the dolphins aren't allowed, the male and female dolphins aren't allowed to be in the same pool together because, you know, they have sex all the time. And so maybe it would just be the lady dolphins. We'll do two ceremonies. two for the female dolphins, one for the female dolphins and the felines, and then we'll do one in the front pool, and maybe that's the one where we'll invite people because they can sit in the stands, you know, and watch
a good old gay dolphin party.
You know what? Why not? Okay, thank you so much for your questions. That was really fun. We're gonna take a break, and then Babs, we're gonna come back. And do you have any recommendations?
Yes, I do.
Perfect. Comadres, my God, we couldn't do it without you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to start by thanking Dulce, DLP.
Dulce, CP.
Diana L.
Deborah R.
Debbie J.
David L.
Danielle S.
Daisy M.
Cynthia T.
Cynthia J.
Cody B.
Christine H.
Christian R.
Chris E. V.
Chelsea M. H.
Kata P.
Candy G.
Brittany D.
Barry at podcastincolor.com.
Aurora L. Shout out.
Antonio V.
Anita R. Mujer Fiera.
Anita K.
Angelica N. Balloon.
Angelica.
Ana R.
Ana CP.
Alondra M. ¿Cómo me gusta ese nombre? Alondra.
Alondra. I know an Alondra. Alejandro M.
Alma A.
Alejandra N.
Alberto GA.
Alba.
Alan A. M.
Adriana C. Oh, that's my friend. Adriana. Adriana, shout out to you.
Ada V.
Abigail N. It's always so hard because I called Adriana Adriana for so many years, and now it's like it's Adriana.
It's Adriana.
Like, God, I mean, you get with the program, honey. But you know, I'm in the retraining my brain process. You know how that goes.
Muchísimas gracias a todas. Órale. Muchísimas gracias a todas las comadres and everybody in Patreon has been supporting. The past year has been amazing. Really showed us the love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll be putting some extra little things here and there before the end of the podcast.
All right, we're back. Babs, I recommended that radio show. I'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes. If you forgot already, don't worry about it. I'll have a link for y'all. But Babs, what's your rec?
Surprise, I had no idea this was coming.
What?
Los Walters has a new actual LP. They really, Los Walters cool. Came to my radar in 2018. Like, I was a little late to the game with an EP called Caramelo, and I fell in love with them. And I think actually Los Walters was one of the last shows I saw in Chicago. But this is the first full EP since 2016, and it's Los Walters. If you like them, it's like this beautiful synth pop duo from Puerto Rico. It's sleek. The production, it's so sleek. It's beautiful. But what I like about this album is that they push it a little bit here and there. They add all these sounds and all these nuances that they were not there before. The album is called Miss Universo 2021, our favorite synth duo from Puerto Rico. No se lo pierdan, Los Walters.
You know I love a little push. Anything else, Babs?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can visit us at latinosforlunch.com. If you have a moment, please leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelita.
Goodbye.
Ciao.